are diverse, independent, and yours. CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Welcome to Teachings in the Air. Welcome to Teachings in the Air podcast with Jerry Oldman, coming to you from Hunkaminam territory with a podcast series about Indigenous men's health and wellness. We aim to inspire, motivate, and empower Indigenous men to be sound in mind, body, and spirit. Because that's what health means.
Hello, this is Teachings in the Air with Jerry Oldman. Oh, I'm so lucky today. You know, I count my blessings every day. Anyway, this season of podcasts are all about strong mind, strong body, strong spirit, strong heart. And it's all about looking and creating a path to a wellness way of life. And remember that wellness means an active pursuit, that you actually go out and look for help if you have confusion in your mind or your body is aching or doesn't feel right or you're feeling depressed, because that's around the spirit. And it's a guarantee when we take care of our mind, body, and spirit, we're going to have a good heart. We're going to have compassion for people. We're going to have kindness, that this emanates from us. Like the elders that taught me, they lived a wellness way of life. You know, so the whole series of podcasts is to help myself and to help others to face the current struggles of the day. You know, the COVID, the loneliness, addictions, all of those things that all human beings go through. You know, and there's a time of uncertainty for all of us. Everybody around the world, that's why they say pandemic. The word pan means all. Endemic is referring to demos, the people. All the people on the planet are in time of uncertainty. We're on a roller coaster ride. So it's so important now that we start to look at the wellness way of life, to actually pursue, to look for, to challenge ourselves, to create solutions, look for solutions. You know, we do come from a resilient people. Resilient refers to trauma. If you can recover from trauma quickly, you're a resilient human being. And many of our elders, our traditional elders, were resilient. They got arrested for doing ceremony. They got arrested for not letting their children go to residential school. They faced all these challenges, but they continued to live their way of life. They continued to do the ceremony, to speak the language. And somewhere in the background there, I know that there are those ones that carry the methodologies of developing the body, of helping people have strong bodies. You know that I've listened to elders and they talk to me about training boys that became men, what they call the puberty rites or the vision quest, and how they would take them and start to teach them about their responsibility as an adult. And I was thinking this morning, and I was coming to this podcast, about how they were preparing the youngsters to be warriors. Because a warrior is someone that's brave and fearless. And it's not about aggression, I believe, in indigenous ways of thinking. Warrior is not about aggression. It's about protection. It's about looking after. It's about developing people. So that's the people I come from, as Statliam people, because I'm Statliam, from a small community called Chilath. And my uncles were my trainers. They were my sports psychologists, you know, and my dad and other elders in the community. They were supportive of me and they would push me. So I was sharing about how lucky I am. You know, I get to meet with different people, different human beings, indigenous human beings from all over the country. I've been blessed that way. I've been to Labrador, to the, you know, looking over the Atlantic Ocean. And I know England across there, in France. And I sat on the west coast of Vancouver Island, a place called Pebble Beach. And I knew across the water, Japan was over there somewhere, you know. So I've been all over. And I get to meet people from many nations. And they all taught me, right from the Eno, the Inuit, and Labrador, the Maliseet, you know, the people on the East Coast, the Mi'kmaq, right across the land, generous people. So we're all lucky today that come to Teachings in the Air. I have a guest with me, a young man, and I see him at a training course at UBC, and he got in touch with me. And I'm always so happy to meet, I call all young indigenous men my nephews. When they're looking at our way of life, they become my nephew. You know, this is an indigenous thing. Some indigenous people say we're all cousins, you know, hey, cuz, you know, our brothers. So I have a nephew with me. His name's Elijah Buffalo. And it's the very first time that Teachings in the Air is going to share the podcast with Elijah, who has his own podcast called Metawewin, a podcast about sports, health, and wellness in indigenous culture and human in communities. And I was so happy to see, and I listened to his podcast, because he's spreading teachings in the air too, about solutions. Not so much about problems, but what you can do. So I'd just like to ask you, Elijah, to introduce yourself to the audience of Teachings in the Air. Tell us about yourself since you're a little boy till today, and however long you want to do that. Then we're going to talk about the topic, Nashmeen. Go for it.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Tansay Okmawa Pista Nitsigasan Nehya Nipsikopak Muskuchis 3-6. And I'm living in France with my partner, my two stepchildren, and my dachshund, Winston. And yeah, we met just a couple months ago at the UBC course. And, you know, we found out that you had a podcast as well and listened to it. And I was just happy to hear that it was about a similar topic, health and wellness. And yeah, so I was like super excited to reach out. And yeah, I'm just really glad that we can come together today and talk about these issues, which is great. And, you know, when I first started this podcast, it was a result of me wanting to speak more. And also as a result of a lot of things that were going on in the media with, you know, settler society really finding out more things about residential school and, you know, a lot of the systemic racism that's talked about in institutions. And I started to think about my own journey and experiences with racism and reflecting back. And, you know, some of these first instances that I experienced were in sport. And so I thought about how being in sports for, you know, most of my life had such an impact on me. And I wanted to look into that, and also thinking about, you know, the systemic racism that athletes go through. And yeah, so when I started this journey, I thought a lot about that from sort of like a reactionary stance. But then I thought more about, like what you said a couple minutes ago about, you know, focusing on solutions and focusing on the good and not always the bad. And that's when I started to think that, yeah, like it would be great to be able to talk to people and to share their story and to share a little bit about my story about how sports is, you know, really vital to us as individuals and as well as communities, as Indigenous people. And yeah, I was born in Edmonton and I lived there for several years. So I was about 8 and then I moved to Nanaimo and spent the winters in the school year rather in Nanaimo and then the summers and Christmas back in Muscogee with my dad and did that until basically school was over. And then I went to VIU. Malaspina University College, it was called at the time. And, you know, we had an elder in residence there called Shemit, Uncle Ray Peter. And he went to Kamloops Indian Residential School as well. And so when we were meeting at the UBC course in the summer, he really reminded me a lot of the ways that he taught. And it was just like really comforting to hear your teachings. And I just wanted to share that with you. And, you know, in meeting with him, he and I would talk about sports and training, and he would give me tips. And yeah, it's just like examples like that of how sports was used as a strategy for teaching at all levels, even in university. And it just really came through with getting to know him. And he listened to my podcast, he said, and, you know, I've been listening to quite a few of your episodes as well. And just like, you know, just feeling this really deep connection to a lot of the things that you share about your own training growing up, you know, especially like the drink in the water thing. Like I too read some book a long time ago about that. The Hopi were doing that. And I always thought that was like so incredible as well. And then as well as my dad was a runner. And I just think it's like so funny, the thing about like the rocks, like he used to always run with the two rocks in his hands as well. And so, you know, it's just like stories like that really help you feel like you're on the right path in life when you hear them. And so, yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of stories about the different sports that I was in. Perhaps we can get to those. But yeah, I think that's, I guess I will share the sport that I do now is road cycling, and that I'm really passionate about. And I train for it and I race in that sport. And, I've won some, I won the Yukon Territorial Championships a few times and came pretty close to winning the BC Provincial Championships. And I just really enjoy racing and training and being in that community. And yeah.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know, and when you mentioned that you're a teacher, I know that man and listen to him and would consider him one of my elders. You know, so where there's so much commonalities, and it is a small world, you know. And when I was listening to you and I was thinking about my own journey, you know, I grew up with when I was a teenager with insecurities, you know, because of the way, because of the experience at Kamloops. But my my uncles, it seemed like a solution to them, to everything, to start everything for training, was running. And running early in the morning. That's what they, my instructions were. You get up just as it's Coquilla. This is a breaking day. So I started doing that. And I realized part of that was to develop my willpower. You know, because I'd beat myself up. I'd want to quit drinking, and I couldn't seem to quit drinking. You know, and I'd call myself a loser. You can't even quit drinking and stuff, beat myself up. So when my uncle said, you know how you go out and run? At the break of day, Coquilla, to break the day. So I started doing that. And I started to develop my willpower, my strength of my mind. And I remember I would make up excuses not to go out on the road. So I remember I put my running shoes beside my bed, my shorts, and the t-shirt I used in those days for running, in my headband. So when my feet would get out of bed, the first thing I would touch are my sneakers. So I'd automatically put them on, then out the door I go, running. Then all of a sudden, I start to see life. Because when you're running and it's still not fully light yet, it's like you see shadows. So I'm watching where I'm running, because I don't want to fall down. I come from a mountainous part of the country. So I run, and I realize I'm not thinking about my problems. I'm thinking about running. It seemed, you know, and I mentioned that at my uncle's, if I was going to do anything, they'd say run. If I'm going to go stick game, you know, gambling, run. You know, everything was run. You know, but they start adding to it after, like medicines. You drink this to clear your lungs. Alder bark, make tea out of it. Drink it. Keep your lungs clear. You know, so they start to share the medicines. And it's just so amazing to me, the knowledge that they carried. For instance, knowing that your lungs must be clear for breathing. Because oxygen, your body needs it. It feeds a fire of life, that oxygen. So they'd say, clean your lungs. Then my uncle would tell me to make tea out of Oregon grape roots. He says, clean your blood. So they're teaching me these things, and I never questioned it. So the steps were, first off, to have cleanliness inside your body. Your lungs, your stomach, your blood. So they started to teach that. And then your skin. They would tell me to scrub my body when I bath in the lake. First off with fir boughs and cedar boughs, then for your muscles, hemlock boughs, you know, branches of hemlock. From your elbow to the tip of your fingers, you break it off and you go in the water and you scrub your body with those. And the substance from that tree goes into your system through the skin. So to know that our people knew this was amazing to me, because I never doubted them. And I think that come from my grandmother, because I never doubted my granny ever. What she'd tell me, okay, Mom, in my mind I would question it. I'd say, my Mom, you're superstitious. You know, as a young, silly young guy. But she knew what she was talking about from being told by her elders that had never seen Europeans, but carried the knowledge. So with my own journey, Elijah, I had to develop my willpower, because I beat myself up a lot. You know, stupid Indian, lazy Indian, drunken Indian, you know, the colonial narrative. that would make me into a victim. But when I started training, you know, and I got into the individual sport of running, this long distance. That's what I was doing. And to hear you talk about your cycling, you know, I have mountain biked in my life. And I liked the mountain bike. I bought myself a mountain bike and I would actually bicycle in the mountains, you know. And it's a totally different strength conditioning because I could feel it in my legs, you know, that push when you're going up a hill, you know, that I didn't get very good at it. Because I had 18 gears or something, and I get them mixed up and stuff, you know. But when I hear you talk about biking, I'd like to know how you got into that and what are the benefits for you?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about bikes, it is like it can be a barrier for people to get into the sport for sure. And I'd been out of sports for several years when I got into cycling, because I had quit hockey when I was 17 and I was in boxing at the time as well. And that, you know, some things happened and basically just walked away from sports and didn't do anything. And I was really out of shape. And, one day my friend said that he had a bike that they needed to get rid of because they were moving. And they asked if I wanted it. And I said, no, I'm good. And then I came home from work one day and I saw that they had dumped the bike in my backyard. And I was a little annoyed. I was like, oh man, like, what am I going to do with this bike? And it just sat there for a while. And I rode it once to my friend's house and then it stayed at his house for a while. And then he moved and the bike was at his house then. At his new place. And then one day we were just hanging out and it just popped in my mind that I could beat him in a race from my house or from his house to my house. And we lived along the train tracks. He lived in this neighborhood called Harewood and I lived in downtown Nanaimo. So it's kind of separated by this one little area and the train tracks kind of like snake through there. And so my plan was to take the train tracks, the little trail that people walk on, and he would have to drive through the neighborhood. So we set off and I got on the train tracks and as soon as I hit some speed, my baseball hat flew off. And like I wore a hat like every day and I didn't for a moment even stop to think about going back to get it. I just kept going to my house. And by the time I got to my place, he was like, you know, like chilling up against his truck, like all nonchalant, but like I know in him, he was pretty competitive too. He probably was just like ripping through the streets, like super fast. So I didn't win the race, but it just like ignited this drive in me. And, it wasn't right away, but probably like a couple of days later, cause I think my legs were like pretty, like felt like jelly, even though it was only a couple kilometers. But shortly thereafter, I started riding the bike as much as I could and started off with doing like a 10 kilometer bike ride. And I thought that was long. And then I remember doing the 20 kilometer bike ride and thinking that was like, you know, super far. And I just slowly got into it. And then eventually, actually I had ran into an old teacher at the swimming pool one day and my friend and I had been going to the gym in early in the mornings before work. And he asked us like, what were we doing training for a triathlon? And I just kind of was just like, oh, you know, that's not a bad idea. I already have the bike. And so I registered for a triathlon, trained for it, kind of just like, you know, went in pretty blind. Like, of course I could swim, but, you know, I didn't have the technique down at all. Like, you know, swimming with your face in the water and like coming out with every breath. I didn't have that. So yeah, it was quite the learning experience. And came out of that, and I just really developed that passion for cycling and for racing. And I just started looking up what other races there were, and eventually just did all the racing that I could. And of course, you know, going to these events and being the only Indigenous person there can be pretty intimidating, but it was a bit of a, you know, part of my development, you know, personally, you know, to go through that challenge was, you know, I really grew from it a lot. And yeah, so that's how I got into cycling. And, you know, it was also, I was a young man at the time, and I had a pretty, you know, stuck in sort of like that masculine way of thinking as well. So it was pretty hard to start to wear like the skin tight, the spandex, the Lycra. I think actually a couple of years before I finally, you know, got a pair of those shorts. And now, like, I don't even think twice. It's like, I've got, you know, dozens of pairs of these things, and it's just like my part of my regalia almost now, you know. I love to put the stuff on.
You know, I have the same, because I done biking, like I say, mountain biking. So I bought the shorts, the gloves, you know, without the fingers padded on the palms, you know, on the bike helmet and stuff, you know. But I too thought about my image, but the comfort of it, you know, the padded shorts really made a difference with those tiny seats. And I wonder how come the seats are so tiny, you know, but on the bike that I had. But that, you know, I went through a similar with long distance running. You know, I said, yeah, one of my friends asked me to go to a 10K run. And I must have been 49, 50 years old then. I said, yeah, I can do that. Because it was a team thing for a 10K run at Pacific Spirit Park in Vancouver. I said, yeah, I'll run with you guys, because it's a team from BCIT. So I registered, went up and got the T-shirt. But I remember I was going up there to UBC. And I got my wife to stop at Starbucks, at a Grande Starbucks, and smoking cigarettes in. Smoking cigarettes and drinking his coffee on the way to the run. And I ran the 10K. Because I've always ran, but never trained up until that point, really. For distance. I'd go for a run. Oh, I'm going for a run, and maybe I go 5K or something. You know, I never measured the distance. But after I finished that run, and I realized that I can do this, but I could feel my lungs. So I stopped smoking, and I started running. So I set the goal, I'm going to run 10K, half marathon, marathon. So as soon as I said marathon, I went to the bookstore and bought training manuals for marathon runners. And how often to run, how, what distance, rest days. So I started to develop a training system for myself. And I had to do that to, you know, be able to run 42 kilometers. You know, so the training was the important part. And that's a part that, because I've been off, on and off again all my life. I'd get out of shape, you know, and it seemed to take longer to get into shape. And not very long to get out of shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm pretty consistent now. You know, I got good flexibility. I can still move pretty good for my age. But as I was listening and we're talking here, the first step for me was to accept my body. You know, being a guy and all of those things, right? To accept my body the way it is, you know, not to be six pack, all of that stuff, you know, that people put out into the world, but to accept my body the way it is.